Module 5, avoiding waste. So here's what we'll cover in this video. First, we'll look at the 6 easy ways to use the magic of mise en place in your kitchen. I'll also go into what exactly mise en place is, for those of you that don't know. We'll look at 11 fun ideas for reinventing leftovers. We'll look at 6 tips for making leftovers last. And finally, we'll cover common leftover ingredients, how to keep them fresh, and clever ideas for using them up. And we'll also take a quick tour of our 5 different weekend prep plans for this module. So have you ever eaten in a restaurant with an exposed kitchen so you could watch the chefs at work? And have you ever noticed all the little containers and bottles of sauces they have at their workstation? Well, that's mise en place. So what exactly is mise en place? It's a French term that roughly translates as put in place. In cooking, it's used to describe the practice of chefs preparing food up to a point where it is ready to be used in a dish during food service. It may be as simple as washing and picking herbs into individual leaves, or as simple as chopping vegetables, or it might be more complicated like caramelizing onions or slow cooking meats. The main benefit in a restaurant is that it makes it much quicker and easier to get food on the table after the customer has ordered. The secondary benefit is that the preparation can help extend the shelf life of fresh produce. So how can we home cooks use this chef secret to our advantage? Well, first we can prep when we have time to save time later, sort of a make time to save time situation. By taking the time on weekends or another time during the week, Monday nights perhaps, to do a little mise en place preparation, we can actually make it much quicker and easier to get dinner on the table when we come home from work late and everyone is hungry. And not only that, we can also use it to prolong the shelf life of our produce. So cooked ingredients tend to last a lot longer than fresh. This is because cooking reduces the amount of bacteria in the food, and cooking also destroys enzymes which can cause spoilage. So employing a little mise en place not only saves you time later on, but it can also reduce waste. For example, a slow cooked meat dish will last for a few weeks in the fridge, whereas fresh meat can only be a few days. Same goes for wilted spinach versus a bunch of fresh spinach. So you get the drift. So we'll move on to 6 quick ways of using mise en place. So number 1, pre-cooking grains or legumes. So dried grains and legumes such as rice, barley, lentils, chickpeas and beans tend to take between 30 to 90 minutes to cook, and longer if you need to factor in the soaking time for beans and chickpeas. But once they're cooked, grains and legumes will keep in the fridge for a few weeks. And to keep them from even longer, you can freeze them. And it's a great option because they tend to keep their shape in the freezer, and they're easy to defrost, kind of like frozen peas. So they're a really great go-to kind of pantry item to have. Number 2 of our 6 quick ways of using mise en place is to pre-cook meat or fish. So fresh fish and meat is highly perishable. Using mise en place to pre-cook dramatically increases the keeping time. Poaching keeps everything moist, so it's an excellent method, but roasting or even pan frying can also be employed. And also, you know, slow cooking dishes are great as well. Then number 3, wilting vegetables. So wilting veg prolongs their shelf life, primarily by deactivating enzymes. So consider methods such as sautéing, steaming, or even boiling briefly. Roasting vegetables, so this is a favourite of mine. Roasting veg takes at least 30 minutes or longer for larger pieces. So having a stash of pre-roasted vegetables opens up a world of possibilities for quick, healthy dinners midweek. Number 5, making sauces or preserves. So sauces can transform a meal from ho-hum to amazing. The balsamic onions, which we'll cover in this module, are a great example. We'll also cover 10 of my favorite quick sauces in module 6 when we master the art of adaptation. So finally, number 6, fully preparing meals. So do-ahead dinners that just need heating and serving are another easy way to harness the benefits of mise en place. So moving on, now we're going to cover 6 tips for making leftovers last. So when it comes to the factors that make leftovers go bad, we're dealing with the with two of the same culprits that attack our fresh ingredients, namely microbes or microorganisms and oxygen. So here are six tips specifically targeted towards reducing the impact of microbes and oxygen to help our leftovers last as long as we need them to. So number one is to chill ASAP. So the worst thing for most food is to be hanging around at room temperature, perfect growing conditions for microbes. So the sooner you pop things in the fridge or freezer, the smaller the microbe populations are going to be to begin with. And less microbes equals, you guessed it, longer shelf life. So I generally wait until hot food is cool for about 30 minutes or so before putting the lid on and chilling. The reason for this is that it avoids loads of condensation and also avoids putting undue stress on your fridge. So that's just something to consider. Then number two in tips for making leftovers last, keep different components separately if possible. So the other night we had a curry with quinoa and stir-fried bok choy. There were leftovers all three dishes. I could have just piled them all into the same container, but instead I chose to pack the items away separately. The main benefit of doing this is it gives you more options for reinventing the leftovers. So the quinoa can be used in a salad or in a soup or served with yogurt and berries. So you kind of get the idea. It just gives you more possibilities. Number three, consider packing individual serves. So when I used to take my lunch to work, I'd pack most of the leftovers into little lunch-sized containers. Then I'd pop them in the fridge and sometimes in the freezer. So in the mornings, I'd be able to grab and go, making it much more likely that I'd actually take my lunch with me. Individual serves are also great in the freezer because they're quicker and easier to defrost. Tip number four is to cover. So fridges and freezers are very dry environments. So you know yourself that uncovered food dries up very quickly. I tend to use glass containers fitted with plastic lids or just cover things with cling wrap or foil. Whatever works for you. Just don't be like my dad who actually put some raw steak in the freezer just straight in without any protection at all. And you can imagine the freezer burn that got. Number five is to use appropriately sized containers. So this isn't super important, but it does help. So this is more of a precaution against oxygen. So the less air or vacant headspace or vacant space in a container means less air and by extension less oxygen. So poorly protected food will be more likely to suffer from freezer burn. And a side benefit is that if you're using smaller containers with less space in them, you'll be able to fit more things in your fridge and freezer. And then number six is to use suitable freezer bags. So not all plastic bags are created equally in their ability to act as a barrier for air and moisture under very low temperatures. So make sure you use proper freezer bags or I use Ziploc bags. They tend to be pretty freezer friendly. So moving on. So now we're going to look at 11 fun ideas for reinventing leftovers. So just like people, some leftovers actually improve with age while others aren't so lucky. The trick is to having fun with leftovers is knowing which dishes will fit into which category. I also find it super important to mix things up. So here are 11 ideas to keep leftovers in the fun and tasty end of the food spectrum. So number one, take a break. So having the same leftover for more than one meal in a row can make even the most unadventurous eater get a little tired. But a break of even just one day can make leftovers seem new again. Most things will keep for about a week in the fridge and much longer in the freezer, so don't feel pressured into eating all the leftovers before moving on to other dishes. Number two, freeze some. If you've got way more than you can possibly eat in a week, be sure to freeze at least some. It's amazing how a few weeks spell in the freezer can make something totally old seem fun and new again. Most things, with the exception of raw vegetable dishes or salads, will freeze well. So if in doubt, just give it a try. You really don't have that much to lose. Number three, share the love. So either take leftovers into work to share with your colleagues or invite some friends over for dinner. No need to tell them that they're doing you a favor by eating up your leftovers. When I was single, I used to pack a leftover care package to give my guests, especially leftover desserts, so I wouldn't be stuck eating the same thing or a whole, half a cheesecake for weeks. Number four, make a leftover leafy salad. So make a classic green salad and then turn it into a meal by scattering over your leftovers that have been chopped into bite-sized pieces if needed. This works with either cold leftovers or you can warm them up for a lovely warm salad. Number five, try a leftover and legume salad. So if I've got some leftovers but not enough to make a meal out of them, I give them a little bit of a stretch by tossing warmed leftovers through canned or cooked lentils or beans. A handful of some fresh leaves or herbs or some finely sized celery can help to freshen it all up. Then number six, the leftover sandwich or wrap. So the Earl of Sandwich was onto a good thing. Most things do taste better between two slices of bread. Just don't forget to add something fresh and something saucy to keep it moist. Slow carbers, or if you're trying to keep things low carb, should apply the same rule to an iceberg lettuce wrap. Then number seven, the leftover toasty. So without the fabulous invention that is the toasted sandwich maker, I would have starved to death during college. It never ceased to amaze me how a practically inedible meal could be turned into a tasty delight by popping it in a toasty. The addition of a good melting cheese shouldn't be overlooked either. Then number eight, the leftover soup. So just all you need to do is bring a few cups of water or stock or tomato puree to a simmer and then add your leftovers chopped into bite-sized pieces. Instantly you'll have a divinely warming soup. Number nine, the leftover baked frittata. So leftover cooked vegetables, legumes, starches, protein, herbs, even cheese can all go into making the most divine baked frittata. Use the recipe and there's a link in the written notes as a base and get creative. Number 10, change the nationality of your dish. So this can be tricky with strongly flavored dishes like curries, but for more European style recipes, a change in nationality can make all the difference to freshening things up. So for example, a pot of leftover beans could have curry powder added and served with yogurt and fresh coriander, also known as cilantro, to become an Indian curry. Or you could add to the same beans, you could add some coconut milk and Thai curry paste, and you'd have a smiling, almost Thai native dish. So if you'd like to discover more on this concept of changing the nationality, check out module 5 of the Master Your Meal Plan program, where we discuss the flavor profile templates and also some really common flavor pairings just to give you ideas to get creative. Then finally, number 11, try the serving with a side / accompaniment trick. So take an example from a classic sauce of minced or ground beef with garlic and tomatoes. Add some spaghetti and a generous sprinkling of Parmesan cheese and it becomes a bolognese. Serve it over corn chips and melt some cheese on top and add a splodge of sour cream and it becomes nachos. Or serve on a baked potato and it takes on an Irish vibe, so you get the idea. So moving on, now we're going to look at common leftover ingredients, how to keep them fresh, and clever ideas for using them up. So my first rule of thumb is to try and avoid leftover ingredients in the first place. Most recipes here at the Stone Soup Virtual Cookery School are designed so you use all of a particular ingredient. But if you're following another recipe, it's okay, I won't feel betrayed, that calls for, say, half a bunch of herbs. Try using the whole bunch instead if you think it's not going to ruin a dish. And 9 times out of 10, it won't, and it'll save you having the leftovers. But if you do find yourself with some leftover ingredients, the easiest way to use them up is to remember to get them out of the pantry or the fridge and just include them in your cooking. But here are some specific examples. So if the leftover salad leaves, these tend to be the most perishable of all vegetables, so when you buy them packed into sealed bags, there are often different gases flushed into the bag to remove oxygen and prolong the life. That's why a salad in bags has a longer use-by date. But then when you open the bag and let oxygen in, it deteriorates quite quickly. So I found the best way to maximize the life of salad leaves is to wash and spin them dry, leaving them slightly damp, and then lay the leaves out on a paper towel and wrap it into a bundle. Then put the bundle in a plastic bag and squeeze to remove most of the air before sealing. It's a bit of a hassle up front, but they last so much longer and are readily washed when you do need them. A great way to use salad leaves, apart from making a side salad, is to sprinkle a handful of protein-based dishes over protein dishes to freshen up a plate, or serving things like stews and curries on a bed of salad leaves as a lighter alternative to the usual carb-heavy accompaniments of rice, pasta, or mashed potatoes. Then spices, and that's a picture of my spice box, which I love. So oxygen is the enemy of spices, so it's important to store them in an airtight bag or container. Temperature and light can also make a difference, so keep in a cool, dry place. Spices are an easy way to change the overall flavor profile of a dish. It may seem a little daunting at first, but the more you use spices, the easier it will be for you to predict favorable outcomes. So a great way to get started is just to put a little of your dish in a cup and add a tiny amount of spice to it, so you can have a preview of whether that spice will work with your dish or not. If you like it, you can add the spice to the whole dish, and if not, you can always try another option. So we'll cover classic flavor combinations for spices in Module 5 of Master Your Meal Plan, which I really recommend having a look at after this program is over. But for now, the following are the most versatile spices that can be used pretty much with everything. So black pepper is a favorite. Smoked paprika and other paprika, such as the smoked sweet paprika you see there in the picture, cayenne pepper, chili powder, dried chili flakes, and whole dried chilies, cumin seeds or ground cumin, which adds a really lovely earthy kind of curry flavor to dishes, coriander seeds or powder, another favorite, and they add like fresh lemony hit, which is beautiful, and vanilla is wonderful with most sweet things. Then moving on to our other leftover ingredients, leftover lemons. I just keep them at room temperature, but they last for ages in the fridge. So using excess lemons in salad dressings or as a side to squeeze over rich protein dishes, the juice of half a lemon in a small glass of cold water can make a super invigorating start to the day as well. Celery, which I didn't have a photo of, can't believe that. Make sure it's wrapped in either foil or plastic to minimize loss of moisture and wilting. I've had celery last for over a month in my fridge. The key to celery is to just stop thinking of it as an aromatic veg to use as a supporting ingredient and start using it as an ingredient in its own right. So my favorite is a raw celery salad. Suddenly it won't seem such a problem. There's a recipe for my favorite celery heart salad in the Cooking on the Budget class, and there's a link to that in the written notes. And also a little finely diced celery is brilliant for adding crunch and freshness to all sorts of dishes. So it's really an often overlooked ingredient. Basil gets a mention on its own because I find commercial basil notorious for going brown and wilting after just one night in the fridge. I try and grow my own basil in my new greenhouse, but when I do buy it, I make sure I turn it into pesto either on the day or the next. Or if I'm short of time, I make a basil oil by packing the washed and dried leaves into a jar and covering with the good peppery extra virgin olive oil. This way it will keep in the fridge for weeks and you can fish out leaves or use the oil as you go. Leafy herbs, so washing and wrapping in paper towel and storing in a plastic bag as per salad can help, but I find it best to try and use them as quickly as possible. Mint, parsley and coriander, also known as cilantro, can be used as a salad leaf, so they're pretty easy to find a home for. Or consider trying alternative pestos or herb oils. Then moving on to the woody herbs. So woody herbs like thyme, sage and rosemary are fine in the freezer and you can just add them as needed. This also works well for bay leaves. Freezing also works well for bay leaves, curry leaves, kaffir lime leaves, fresh horseradish, ginger and fresh turmeric. Sauces can be divided into two categories, ones that need refrigerating after opening and ones that don't, so read the label if in doubt. For sauces that can be served as a condiment, it's a matter of just getting them out and serving them on the table for everyone to experiment with, although it's best to only have one or two options out on the table at a time so you're not going to overwhelm everyone. But for sauces that are more ingredients, first think of the style of sauce and where those styles can be used. For example, if it's an Asian sauce, thick Asian sauce like hoisin, it can probably be used anywhere you'd use a thicker Asian sauce like oyster sauce or sweet soy sauce. say, for example, in a stir fry or just drizzled over steamed vegetables. Likewise, curry paste can often be used interchangeably to give a different slant on an old favourite dish. So exotic ingredients, there's a picture of preserved lemons there. So there's two options for figuring out how to use up your fancy ingredients such as your orange blossom water or your pomegranate molasses or your preserved lemons. Just search the Stone Soup Virtual Cookery School site, or you can Google it with the word recipe and see what comes up. Then the other option is just to have a taste of the ingredient on its own. Think about which common ingredients it's most like, and then try using it instead of the common ingredient, or do a 50-50 replacement. So what do I mean by that? For example, if you taste pomegranate molasses, it's really sweet, but there's also quite a bit of kind of fresh acidity to it. It tastes a bit lemony. So the first place I would try it would be somewhere where I'd normally use balsamic vinegar, which is also sweet and acidic. So you kind of get the idea. Then we have more ingredients. Cheese. So this is taken in Dublin. Love this cheese shop. Odds and ends of cheese are easy to get rid of. So just save them up for a potluck of mac and cheese extravaganza. You can grate or crumble and mix them together. Rinds of hard cheeses like Parmesan can be added to soups or stews to give extra richness and umami flavors. Just remember to fish them out before serving. Salads and soups are another great repository for old scraps of cheese. A tiny bit sprinkled or grated over just before serving can add interest without requiring a large amount of cheese. Then leftover vegetables. We've covered ideal storage conditions. The obvious home for odd vegetables are soups, stews, and slow-cooked dishes. But don't forget to add little bits and pieces to salads, especially slaw or raw veg salads. Vegetables can also be added to add textural variety to a pot of cooked legumes, either in the cooking water or as fresh ingredients later on. Then we've got capsicum, also known as bell peppers. So and cucumbers as well, I wanted to include here. So you should be able to get 2 weeks out of these in the fridge. The thing that makes them go bad is dehydration. So keeping them in containers as I do, or in plastic bags is the solution. Then finally, we've got avocados. So I only put them in the fridge once they're cut. Avocados are warm weather creatures who don't like the cold. So refrigeration actually causes chilling injury and speeds up browning. So it's best to keep them at room temperature. Once cut, leaving the stone in the half that you're not going to eat helps protect a large part of the surface area from browning. But I find that avocados don't last so long. So when I do buy them, I buy the firmest ones I can find, unless I'm planning to eat them that day. I'm always thinking about eating the avocados up before they go bad. It's just like a continuous problem. And that's a wrap for this week. So I really encourage you to look at your action steps. There's actually, before we go into that, there's 5 different prep plans for you. I'll let you explore them on your own. So let's move on to your actions. So remember that insight without action is absolutely worthless. So it's super important to take the first step now while everything is fresh in your mind. So step number 1 is to complete step 5 for developing your habits back from module 1. So, 5 weeks ago almost. So, and just to refresh, step 5 was to start as small as possible. And then for this module, your homework is to choose the weekend, have a look at the different prep plans and choose the one that sounds the most delicious to you. Then schedule sometime this weekend or during the week. Monday nights could be great to make your prep recipes. And then use your mise en place or whatever you've prepared for quick dinners this week and just report. And then finally, really love you to report back and share your experience either in the comments on the recipes that you used, or take it up a notch and share a picture of your creation on Facebook or Instagram. And there's links to that on the written notes. And up next, we're going to be looking at Module 6, our final module, which is the art of adaptation. So look forward to seeing you then.